Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We come now to the conclusion of our series through the book of Hebrews. And you think about this, you think, man, how do you wrap up this rich book? I feel like I'm leaving a good friend. I don't know about you, but it just has been such a blessing to me. I trust it's been a blessing to you as well. It's interesting, if you look at verse 22, Hebrews 13, 22, the writer says, I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. It's a brief book, 13 chapters. And we started back in October. Of course, we had Christmas break and so on. But here we are, bringing this to a close. It's a short book, we say, but it's chock full of great stuff. And as I look at the closing verses, it seems as though the writer knows he needs to kind of wrap things up. And so he continues with some rapid fire exhortations here. And he wants us to take these to heart. And I think as I was thinking of our take home thought today, I thought, how could we pull all of this together? And I think the writer does well in verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20. In 21 says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you. May the God of peace equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So our take-home thought grows out of this passage, these verses here, and that is, God saves you to bring him glory. God saves you for a purpose, and that purpose is to bring him glory. You were created to bring glory to God. That fellowship was broken. We got off track because of sin. We wanted to do things our own way. That's Adam and Eve, but then because of Adam and Eve, that became our desires as well. Through Adam, the sin was passed on to us, and we continue to look for purpose through doing things our own way, to find purpose in our own things. And that's what salvation does, however. Salvation realigns and provides you with purpose for living. It helps you realize, you know what? Living for self is not worth it. Living for self condemns. But when you come to Jesus in repentance and faith, understanding that he died for you, then you are realigning yourself with the purpose for which you were created, and that is to bring glory to God. That's a purpose statement here. God wants you to bring glory to him. Remember from the beginning, or at the beginning of our study in Hebrews, the writer proves that Jesus is in fact the Messiah, the Savior. He goes through this series of arguments that Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than the prophets, better than Moses, better than the priests, better than the entire Old Testament sacrificial system. Jesus is God and therefore is better than all of this. And these arguments are to give you confidence. Confidence that you're believing the truth. And that confidence is to motivate you to live for the Lord, to live righteously in light of these truths, so that when you inevitably will face perseverance, as the early readers did, you'll persevere. And as you look at this, you remember that Hebrews is a book of clarification that leads to motivation. All of these things have been clarified, and it comes down here to chapter 13 and says, you know what? The writer, God wants you to be motivated to live for him, to live to his glory. Jesus is the motivation for you to bring glory to God. Did you look at verse 20 once again? Look at the elaboration on the matter of salvation. Now, may the God of peace, we need peace right now, right? Our world's in turmoil. Things have been turned upside down. Never seen anything like it over this past year. Maybe your life feels that way right now with all of the events of whatever it is you're facing. God is a God of peace. And so may the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the resurrection. If you're looking for peace today, God is the God of peace who provides that peace through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died, he was buried, he rose again for you. On your behalf, if you would surrender to him, you repent of your sinfulness, turn to him in salvation, you can have that salvation. That's what God did for you. And he is the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant. His blood appeases the sacrificial requirements of the law and establishes the eternal covenant. That's the new covenant, not the old. Don't go back. And as a result then of your salvation, God provides you with purpose. Not only in this life, but the next. He equips you, verse 21. As a result of this salvation, he equips you with everything good. See verse 21, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And verse 22 then indicates that this equipping comes through the exhortations of the scriptures. And since this letter is inscripturated, it's scripture, you have before you these exhortations. He says in verse 22, I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation. So now we have these final instructions. All right, he's pulling it to a close and he says, there's a couple other things I want to get in here. All right, and so we're going to look at four ways here that you can bring glory to God. Ways in which you, as he directs here. Now, there are a bunch of other ways, all right? He just says, okay, here's some final things. I want to get this in before we close the book. I want to encourage you to bring glory to God, first of all, by sticking to sound doctrine. If you want to bring glory to God, stick to sound doctrine. Just this last week, someone called the church and said, just wondering, in your... When Pastor Dale has Bible studies on Wednesday night, and when you have your life groups and so on, do you use the Bible? And at first, you know, we think, oh my goodness, of course we use the Bible. This is a church. But the point there was that evidently this individual has gone to some churches where they don't use the Bible. Could you imagine that? But aren't you thankful, and I trust you're thankful, that we're a church that uses the Bible in our preaching, in our teaching, and in our worship. Stick to sound doctrine. If you want to live to please God, stick to sound doctrine. And here's some reasons why it's important to stick to sound doctrine. First of all, it doesn't change. Look at verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He's the same. This is literally saying Jesus is Christ the same. In other words, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the one and same Jesus of the New Testament. He is the Messiah. He is the unchangeable one. He's the anointed one. And again, another clear reference to the deity of Jesus. Jesus is God. Now, this is an essential point in light of the fact that the book is about contrasting the Old Testament with the New Testament. I've said that Jesus changed everything. Upon his death, his burial, and resurrection, man, things have changed. We've been talking about things changing. The Old Covenant is no longer in force. You now have the New Covenant in Jesus Christ. And so he changed things, but he never changed, right? It's important to understand that. He is, and it's interesting that in the Old Testament it says the same thing about God. That God is the same. Yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is God. He never changes. I think that's important because there may be some in this context who are thinking that the Old Testament taught a different doctrine of salvation. No. The Old Testament did not teach a different doctrine of salvation. The Old Testament is all about teaching, and the law was showing you, showing the person of God how to have a relationship with God. And then it was like, we can't. What the law did is it showed you can't do it. That's why you need a Savior. And so what God did is he provided a Savior, and in the new covenant, he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to put the law in your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. It all pointed to salvation through Jesus Christ. It all points to salvation through Jesus Christ. The gospel is the same. It's by grace that you're saved through faith. Through Jesus, who is the one that the Old Testament points to through all the symbols and all the shadows and all the pictures of the Old Testament. Beware of those who go around and say, here's a new truth. Cults are started that way. Hey, we just discovered something new. Here's something new. You gotta get this. That's how cults start. And the test of a cult is, what does that cult teach about who Jesus is and what he did? And Hebrews here helps us. The book of Hebrews helps you. I hope it has helped you connect the dots from the Old Testament to the New and how all of this fits. Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the fulfillment of the law. Yes, he fulfilled the law, but all the law converges on him, and he is the fulfillment of it. It all points to him, and he finished it. He's fulfilled it. There's no need to go back. So here's the second reason to stick to sound doctrine. First reason is it doesn't change. Second reason, it deals with the heart, not externals. The sound doctrine deals with the heart, not externals. Look at verses 9 and 10. Exhortations, remember, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. This points to grace, not ceremony. All right? Beware of religion that emphasizes conformity to external standards without dealing with matters of the heart. Again, verse 9. It is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not foods. Now, if you have YouVersion, I meant to have Erica highlight this and you'll have to look this up. Mark chapter 7. All right, turn to Mark chapter 7, keeping your finger here in Hebrews. Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 23, if you're taking notes. Mark 7, 14 to 23. Jesus calls the people together. And he said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the thing that comes out of a person are what defiles him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. Thus he declares all food clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person. The point here is that conformity to the Jewish ceremonies had become, for many of the Jews, a measure of spirituality. I do these things, therefore I am spiritual and I'm closer to God than you are. Maybe. You see? If I do these things, that's how you get close to God. That's how you become spiritual. We don't eat certain foods. We don't do certain things, or we do certain things. That makes us spiritual. That makes us closer to God. And God says, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9, it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods. Grace deals with the heart. Foods are external. And I think about that in whatever context you find yourself. And we tend to check the boxes. I did what I should do. That makes me spiritual. All kinds of churches have that kind of religion out there. All right, now, so many of you understand that. Let me step on a few toes, all right? I'm going to tread where angels fear to tread. I believe that this can also apply to vaccines. All right? In that what goes into the body is not what defiles. There are some, and there are some in this room, that think, you know what? I'm more spiritual because I got my vaccine, or I'm more spiritual because I'm not going to get the vaccine. I've heard the discussions. And I think we need to be careful there. The vaccine doesn't defile or not, all right? It may have an effect on you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your walk with God. I'm talking about your spirituality, all right? Because the issue is, how are you going to handle that? How are you going to handle that in relationship to the person? Are you going to judge the person who chooses to get the vaccine? Or are you going to judge the person who chooses not to get the vaccine? You see, what it's what's coming out of your heart. And it says there in Mark chapter 7 there, it's the evil thoughts, the immorality, the thefts, the murder, adultery, the covetousness, the wickedness, the deceit, the sensuality, the envy, the slander, the pride, the foolishness. That's what defiles us. You have to guard your heart on these things. Those who decide or not are within their freedom to choose what's best for them based upon their understanding of the scriptures as well as based on their circumstances. All right? But to make a vaccine or anything of the sort a matter of spirituality, it's not right. We need to guard our hearts here. Verse 10. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. Now, this, I understand there's various views as to what this is, to what this is referring. I believe it's a reference to the altar at which the Old Testament priests served. They were normally able to eat the remains of a sacrifice, but on the Day of Atonement, eating the remains of a sacrifice was not allowed. It was taken outside the tabernacle and burned. So you have that verse, but it points to this third reason to stick to sound doctrine, and that is it deals with the reality, not pictures. Pulling this together. You've heard this, but sound doctrine deals with reality, the reality of Jesus, not the pictures of Jesus that you find in the Old Testament. Look at verse 11 to 14. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as a sacrifice of sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured, for here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Jesus suffered outside the gate. He shed his blood. And all the sacrifices pointed to Jesus. His sacrifice paid your debt. I came across this illustration. I thought it was helpful. Maybe it'll be helpful to you. But if you think about a credit card, pull out a credit card here, and this is a piece of plastic. When it expires, what do we do with it? You know, we shred it, right? And there's no value to this. They send it to you free. You know, there's no value to this card. But when I go to buy something, I make payment. I use a credit card. Now, the credit card doesn't pay it. It just points to the fact that one day it's going to get paid. It just represents payment for whatever it is I'm buying, right? But it does say that one day it will get paid, and yet the bill is not paid. It is covered, right? It's covered by the credit card company, whatever, the bank or whatever. It's covered, but it's not paid until it comes out of my account, right? All the Old Testament pictures, they were just that. It was covered. The payment was covered. It was taken. You know, it was the promise of the ultimate final payment. That's what Jesus. That's what all of the pictures in the Old Testament do, is they point to the final ultimate payment, which was taken care of in Jesus Christ, and He paid for your sin debts, past, present, and future. Right. The problem was that the tools that were used for worship were meant to symbolize the realities became more than symbols. They were considered sacred. But we, as Jesus followers, we understand what Jesus did and the fact that He went outside the camp. And He bore the sins of the world. And so we, in the same way, we need to be willing to endure that suffering. We need to go outside the camp into the world. And we need to be His representatives to the world. Not to isolate, but to get out into the world and be witnesses and testimonies to the world around us, and point the world to the reality of Jesus. So, bring glory to God. Bring glory to God by sticking to sound doctrine. Here's a second way to bring glory to God. And that is, verse 15, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. And that is, here's the way to bring glory to God. Sacrifice your worship. Excuse me, sacrifice your praise, your worship. Worship is a sacrifice because the true worshiper humbles himself and acknowledges the one who is greater. Worship was directed to a person, through a person, as opposed to all of the trappings, all of the trappings, all of the symbols, all the pictures of the Old Testament. They were just a means to point to the glory of God. And so in the same way, what we do is we don't hold on to the trappings, to all the stuff of We point to the reality. We point to the reality. So when we do this, attributing to God His worth from our lips, we do this through our singing and the sayings of the Scriptures. We do it through the attention we give to the preaching and the teaching of His Word. We offer praise to Him by living out what we have learned in obedience to His Word. And part of that is living according to these exhortations that we have here. And so I encourage you that as you come to the services together, or whether you are worshiping throughout the week on your own, to realize, you know what? It's not about me. It's all about Him. And let me speak to the praise team for just a moment. Okay, as you are here, praise team, choir, anyone who's doing instruments up here, it's not a performance, right? And I encourage you, as you lead the congregation, to remember what you're doing is you're leading the congregation to come before God. And so think about your demeanor and how you accomplish that. If it means something to you, it ought to look like it means something to you. And what you're doing is you're engaging the congregation to engage them with Almighty God. And so it's not a performance. And so as a congregation then, when you come to realize, you know what, it's a sacrifice of your praise to God. And it's not, you don't look at it as a performance and like, oh, they did such a good job. They sounded so good. Which, praise God, they do. That's what rehearsal's all about and preparing and all that. But to realize, wow, they're leading us before the throne of grace. And they're drawing my heart through what they're singing or what they're saying in the scriptures that are read. They're bringing me before Almighty God. And maybe you came in and you're mind, whoa, we had all the kids here and trying to get them here and maybe thinking about what happened this week, whatever. And it's like, okay. And the idea here is to draw together to focus your attention on Almighty God. And so, don't just go through the motions. You could sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," and plan dinner all at the same time. You know the words. But are you thinking about how great His faithfulness is and the fact that His mercies are new every morning? These hymns and songs are carefully chosen to draw our hearts into worship. But you know, you were created to worship. We're talking about that in the take-home thought here today. You're created to worship. And so the fact of the matter is, you are always worshiping. You're always worshiping something. And that something should be someone in Jesus Christ, our Almighty God. And so as you go through your day, it's not just on Sundays or another day of the week. Your worship is a part of your every moment of every day as you acknowledge Him in your walk with the Lord, with your walk with Him. It's all about worship. It's a sacrifice. You may not be in that habit, but think about it, how you worship Him in your every moment of your every day. Sacrifice. Here's another way to bring glory to God, and that's sacrifice your possessions. Verse 16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This has the idea of your relationship with others as well as your relationship with God. Be ready to give and willing to share. And as opposed to hoarding and holding on to what you have for your good purposes. But think about how you can bring glory to God by using what you have to do so. Ready to give, willing to share. So it talks about your relationship with others. It talks about your relationship with God. Thank you for your faithful giving to the ministry, to God through the ministry of First Baptist Church. So this involves being willing to share what you have so as to be a blessing to others. And if you missed the members meeting last week, you heard about two or three new initiatives that are taking place right now. We have the food truck. Have you seen the food truck out front? The food truck ministry. Check that out. The laundromat ministry. Did you ever think a laundromat could be a ministry? Ed Lewis, years ago, taught us how you can have a ministry in a laundromat. And so we're looking to do that. And also Center Shot, help us out. Those of you who are available, learn how to shoot a bow and learn how to teach kids how to do that. And through that is a means of sharing Christ. All of these are means of sharing Christ. Give of yourself to that, to be a blessing to others. But through that, it takes the ministry in order to do that. And when you do that, you bring glory to God. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that pleases God. And finally, a fourth way to bring glory to God, and that's verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account, who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Fourth way to bring glory to God is submit to your spiritual leaders. Submit to your spiritual leaders. The tense here is that they constantly obey them because they constantly watch. They keep watch over you like wakeful shepherds interested in your souls. It is right for we pastors, us pastors, it's right for us to ask you how you're doing. And sometimes it's, hey, how's it going? And sometimes you're like, yeah, it's okay, you know, and it's really not. Sometimes we come alongside and say, hey, how's it going? Either way, yes, answer honestly. We pray for you. It's interesting as well, it says, obey your leaders. There are times when there are decisions that are made. And if you grumble about that, it's of no advantage to you. That's what the text says. I'm not saying that every decision that pastors make is always right. But I'm saying, make it easy on me. I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to give an account for these things. But as you submit to your spiritual leaders, you make my work a joy, not a burden, and it's no advantage to you. In other words, you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account for that as well, for how you responded to that. So, verse 18. Here's what the leader says. The one who wrote, the writer of this book was a spiritual leader. And he says, pray for us. For we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you sooner. I tell you, it is such a blessing when someone comes up today to me and says, Pastor, I want you to know I pray for you every day. Whether you pray every day for me and for the other pastors, to know that you're praying is a blessing. Because I can't do it. There's a song, some of you here may not know it. It's a contemporary song. But actually, it's been around a while. It's been reworked. But it says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. And I'll tell you, that grips my heart. That's my desire. That he would increase, I would decrease. To understand, I'm just a nobody. And how humbling it is for me, and how serious I take the fact that here are some people who are admonished to obey me, to submit to my authority. In light of that, man, I need your prayers. Because I'm going to give an account for that. Ways in which you can bring glory to God. Sound doctrine. Sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of your possessions. Submitting to spiritual leaders. Verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So I come back to the take-home thought. God saves you to bring him glory. And here he just says, okay, I got these last four things I want to tell you about. And he's equipped you to do this. So as I look at these four things here, for you to, oftentimes I'll say, all right, choose one of those and go to work on it. I think these are four things that we can all do. To be committed, to stick to sound doctrine. And so, and then secondly, that you say, when I go to church, I'm gonna bring glory to God. It's not about me, it's all about him. That's what I'm gonna do. And I'm gonna carry that out through my life. And to grow in acknowledging him and bringing him glory in every moment of my everyday. I'm gonna sacrifice praise. I'm gonna sacrifice my possessions. I'm gonna be willing to give and to share with others and to give generously to God. And I'm gonna submit to my spiritual leaders. I think we can all do that. And be willing to do that. And commit ourselves to that. In verse 22, he closes, I appeal to you, brothers. Bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. And he closes with this statement, grace be with all of you. We can't do it. We need his grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for these truths. Thank you for this book that has been so helpful in helping, in teaching us to connect the dots of the Old Testament and the New Testament and how significant these truths are to living life. So help us. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, I encourage everyone to take these exhortations to heart. Just say, you know what, I'm going to do those. I'm going to remember these four things this next week, and I'm going to commit to them. I'm going to stick to sound doctrine. I'm going to give attention to that, to the preaching and teaching of the word, not only publicly and at the ministry, but also privately. If you're going to stick to sound doctrine, you're going to be a student of the word personally as well. It's going to affect your worship, your praise. It's going to affect your possessions. It's going to affect your pastors and how you respond to your pastors. Commit to those things. I ask everyone to fill out a connection card. We have those cards at the entrance, as well as YouVersion, our QR code now, and a digital bulletin, and our website. You can fill out a connection card. And commit to yourself to these things and ask for prayer of one another. And be faithful. If you're here today or you're listening today, you're not certain of salvation, we want to help you, because you could just go through the motions, and that's exactly that which against we're speaking. And this writer's writing. Commit your heart to the Lord and salvation. If you're not sure what that means, just jot that down and say, I want to get saved, or I have questions about salvation, and we want to help you with that as well. I'll be here during our closing hymn off to the side here. I'll be available after the service if you'd like to talk.